Welcome. Okay.
Are we good to call this meeting to order?
We are good.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is 1 o'clock p.m. and then I would like to call the March 24, 2002 Arizona State Board of Private Postsecondary Education Complaint Committee to order. The board may go into executive session for the purpose of obtaining legal advice pursuant to ARS 38-431.0383 on any matter on the agenda. The board reserves the right to change the order of the agenda items with the exception of hearings. So, Ms. Roman, any changes to the agenda that we need to consider here?
Mr. Romano, no, there are no changes.
Fantastic. If we could we just do a quick roll of the board for the committee members? I'm sorry.
Great. Mr. Romano.
Here.
Mr. Romano's present. Dr. Leck?
Present.
Dr. Leck is present. Ms. Cardullo?
Present.
Ms. Cardullo is present. I am Kevin LaMountain, Executive Director. I'm present. Mr. Blanchard?
I am present.
Terry Stanfill, not sure that Terry's going to join us on this. Okay, great. Jacqueline Rome. I see Jacqueline on, so I know she's here. And then Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan.
Present, thank you.
Mr. Romano, all members of the board and staff are present.
Fantastic, thank you very much, Mr. Romano. We'll move on to agenda item number two, which is in regards to the complaint committee meeting minutes from December 9th, 2021. The audio recording of the December 9th, 2021 meeting has been posted on the website. As a reminder, the state board's policy of the recording of minutes is to do the audio recording of all meetings and post those to the website. Mr. LaMountain, can you confirm that the audio minutes for the December 9th, 2021 complaint committee have been posted and are audible?
Mr. Romano and member of the committee, I can confirm that they are posted and audible.
Thank you very much. Any discussion by the committee members? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
It's Susan Cardullo. I move to approve the minutes.
Dr. Leck, I'll second.
Wonderful. Ms. Romano, would you please take the vote?
Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Ms. Cardullo?
Aye.
By your vote of three ayes, no nays, no absent, no abstentions, that motion passes.
Fantastic, thank you very much. All right, we will move on to item number three, which are our non-student complaints. We'll start the non-student complaints in regards to Arizona Permanent Makeup Academy. Mr. Blanchard, would you please provide a brief introduction?
When's yours coming up?
This one.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the Complaint Committee. Board staff received in November 2021 information in reference to published documentation that's on the website for Arizona Permanent Makeup Academy. Upon review of the website, board staff sent the information and requested a response to those discrepancies from that and what's listed on the enrollment agreement and what's listed in the catalog. I have listed in the complaint, I believe there were around nine items that we were asking information on. The institution did respond and submitted the response, which you have for your review. Any questions in reference to that can be asked to Arizona Permanent Makeup Academy. That institution is being represented by Mrs. Godley, and I believe she's on the line to discuss this with you as well.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Blanchard. Ms. Godley, are you on the call today?
I didn't know. I'm represented by her for the lawsuit, but she's not representing me for this meeting.
My name is Vanessa Rosa. Yeah, sorry about that. Okay. I haven't really been doing too many of these meetings, but we're just here. My name is Vanessa Rosa for the record, and I am a representative for the law office of DM Godley. I'm just here to view what is going on for the Arizona Permanent Academy, and just going to be here to listen in.
Board members, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. It appears and I apologize, Vanessa, Ms. Rosa, from what Ms. Rosa said, that she's not an attorney, so she is just monitoring. So if you do have factual questions for Ms. Rosa, you are welcome to ask those. However, I would request you direct your questions to Ms. Akiki. Thank you.
Mr. Blanchard, you had your hand raised. I just want to make sure if you wanted to add anything additional.
No, Mr. Chair, I do not. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Kakichi?
Chakichi, C-H. C-H, Chakichi.
Chakichi, thank you very much. Ms. Chakichi, we've had a chance to review the materials that have been provided to us, but as is typical, we'll normally ask the school if they would like to make any type of statement at the beginning here, and then we can go into asking a couple more questions. So
sure.
I'd like to afford you that opportunity at this time.
Sure. So as you know, we have a history with state boards already, but I wanted to again go over a couple things before we start this session. And I'm like, I kind of printed everything that I exchanged with Mr. Blanchard in the past. And they are in front of me right now too. So I believe some of the members, they don't realize that I started this application process in 2018 in May. So I did my research. And it came to my knowledge that there is a state board. So I did my application 2018, and here several exchanges of emails, like, again, I submitted those two to Mr. Blanchard, that I'm asking for sample forms, like many things, like my account is not open.
Ms. Chakichi, I'm sorry. Ms. Chakichi, I apologize. This is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. I just want to make sure for the purposes of our record today, so that our record is clear, that we are talking about the complaint at hand here.
Okay.
No, I was going to make around that complaint.
Yeah, it is okay. About the complaint. Like, it is complaint that I did have those extra classes, but my classes that always presented there on my website, I never changed anything all these years, and I am asking on the emails all the information that I had to do, and I also submitted all the items that I have. So I have the email showing that I'm asking Ms. Stanfield about the input. I wanted to get the enrollment agreements for each one of them, but I was advised to go for permanent makeup, and I was advised that they were not interest of this board, etc. So I have a long history of, like, that's where my frustration is coming from. Like, my application didn't go through. So 2018, and I'm receiving an email saying that it is closed. So I opened again 6 months after learning that it was closed. And then at the end of a year, 1 year after my application, I had 1 month before my approval or my, like, committee meeting, I got the complaints from those people, and on their complaint letters, they were openly talking about, like, how they took classes from other places, etc. So there are so many things that I don't want to go over all of that. And then they were, at the time, I had my application, but they were accepted as non-student complaint. So instead of giving my license all this time, and it was almost like delayed like 2 years at that time. So I was tried and shamed and blamed for teaching without the license.
Ms.
So many things like that accumulated, and we are here again. And website violations, I talked to other school owners about all those things mentioned as like 8 items. And I learned that Mr. Blanchard went over with them, and none of them are here with me today. So same stuff, like all this website, for me, like minor stuff that could have been fixed easily, they are there for me to represent here today. I mean.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Pico. I appreciate that. And we've had a chance to review various materials that are provided, and I'm sure my fellow committee members will have questions for you around some of that. I certainly do as well. I do just want to clarify, and we do this really at all the complaint committees, just for a point of clarification and benefit for people who are participating in it. Complaints can come in a couple different ways for us to the board's attention. They can come through student complaints, through non-student complaints, which are essentially something that's brought to our attention by someone who is not a student or potentially even board staff, and that of the board itself hears something that justifies the potential of opening up an investigation. So I just want to share with you that those are some of the different ways that these complaints can come forward, and it's the expectation of the staff to investigate those matters and then bring those matters forward. For another point of clarity, we will not bundle multiple schools into a complaint, but deal with each school independently on complaints that are brought forward. And in this particular case, we are focused on AZ Permanent Makeup Academy and the complaints that have come forward in regards to that. And that's where we'd ask you to continue to speak to, and that will be what our questions will be focused on today as a matter of our agenda topic.
Okay, Mr. Romano, can I have a second? Mr. Romano, so there is a student, she was asking me about if my classes were accredited, and I knew it was not, and I didn't tell her, and then I called Kevin, and he confirmed, and I got back to her saying that no, I cannot, and she needed to submit some sort of form so she could get money from the government, and I did not tell her that it was accredited or anything, so she couldn't get the funds. That's why she filed a complaint about my website. So the way this non-student complaints, so I am being transparent, like I'm more transparent than anybody else out there. Like my information is all listed clearly, all curriculum, the hours, everything is listed, and I'm doing the right thing. Like I'm telling if I agree, I would agree with you if I said something about it, and then you would put me for that into this complaint committee. But the whole thing evolved out of this, and then I'm receiving this complaint from Mr. Blanchard in a form of like 8 items, and then I called him to talk about to clarify why I didn't understand really, and we talked about other 10 different items until like half an hour on the phone until I cried. So it is the history, like this is how, this is a repetitive behavior, like, or like the trait, like we talk each other and then the talk ends with me crying. This is this type of culture of like dealing with the institutions is not okay. It's not the right way to do it. I deal with other state boards. I have to call them for students because they have to get license. So they need license, so I have to call them, and we talk with state boards all the time. And they are extremely helpful. They explain everything. There's no like hostility.
Excuse me, board members, can we make sure that we keep this on to the actual allegations in the complaint? I don't think Mr. Blanchard is on trial here.
Yes, I'm trying to do just that. So, Ms. Chikichi, I would ask as we go through, I understand you may have a differing opinion on how we ended up here, but it is the right of the board and the staff, regardless of how information comes forward, to evaluate that school, and if they find other items, to bring those forward. And in this particular case, there were a number of items that mm-hmm. were identified that do require some clarification. And so this, the intent of this committee today is just to get clarity on these things that have been brought forward. We realize you may not agree with them, but I do want to also call your attention to the fact that as a licensee, you have agreed to the rules that you are governed under for that licensee, which you set expectations around your adherence to those rules at all times. And so as we go through, I do have a couple questions that have come up from that that have been brought forward that I would just like to try and get some clarity from you on. And again, I'm confident my other committee members will also have questions as well from that. Okay, so a couple things. As we go into this, it does seem, as I went onto your website, you do have a number of programs that are listed, and throughout on all the pages, it does say that you are the programs are accredited. So it doesn't matter what program you go to. If you scroll down to the bottom of the page, it says that the programs are accredited on your website for those. And so I'm just trying to understand, knowing your license for two programs, that it does seem as I couldn't find the two in the way that they're titled, but I understand there may be some clarity I'm missing there. Sure. But I'm just trying to understand, are all your programs accredited that you have on there, the 12 programs?
Mr. Romano, I am not aware of anywhere it says accredited, or I'm
so
not.
I'm on your website right now. So you go on your academy programs, click on any of them, and when you scroll down to the bottom, why choose us? And it says we are an accredited permanent makeup academy and facial aesthetics training facility in Arizona. So under every program, you have it as though you are accredited.
I instructed clearly not to put anything accredited there, and we never did. I don't know where does it say. Every program.
Every program you click on has that, and
I don't understand how it comes up, because it doesn't come up to us like websites.
Mr. Chairman, may I suggest? I don't know. Can we screen share here so then maybe we can? Just curious.
Thank you, Dr. Leck. I do think that would be appropriate.
Yeah. Oh, I will. Let me pull this up over here. Hold on one moment.
Just so Ms. Chiquich, you can see also what we're looking at.
Yeah, I think that'll help this conversation.
Sure.
So if you go to the Academy section, which lists your programs, and you were to pick any of these, and you go down to the bottom.
This one, I don't, can I see, do you see anything? Yeah. If you show me, like, so these websites, they use meta fields. So I have access to most part, and I mean, accredited shouldn't say anywhere. So, and then it is copy paste. I didn't know. So it is copy paste.
Mr. Kichi, I want to clarify first. Okay, because you've agreed to the rules, you are responsible for it. So you are responsible.
No, I'm taking responsibility. But again,
so you are responsible for those things, and that's why I'm asking these questions to try and get clarity. If you continue to scroll down on it, on that, you'll see right there in that banner, it comes up for every single program. And
it
so,
doesn't show. Okay, yeah.
And so that I didn't is know. Where I realize you didn't know, and that's why we're talking about this, right? It is your responsibility to know. It is your responsibility.
Again, so Mr. Romano. So the eighth item doesn't say anything about accreditation. So eight items that I received from Mr. Blanchard was something about like other stuff, like other things that I fixed to my best knowledge. But accredited is coming up right now for the first time, and I was not aware that this is a, probably this is a meta field that it copies itself to every page. And I'm gonna again ask one more time to remove it. I was first time seeing it here, okay. And we are checking so right is, now. So it's all the way
this
down.
This is your business's website. This is your school's website, and so you are responsible for the content on the website, and I realize that. This did not come up, but as my responsibility as I'm reviewing this and trying to be as thorough as possible, this was another area that, you know, we're always mm-hmm. sensitive of consumer.
Thanks for letting me know. I didn't know again.
And so, you know, then we get into some of the other pieces, like even in that statement where it talks about a 1400 premium medical center in the Metro Phoenix area. You know, and you even have some places that I believe it says are the biggest, we're the biggest facility in the Southwest. And so as part of the rules in advertising, right, you have to be able to substantiate mm-hmm. these types of claims. And that one was actually called out in the 8 points or 9 points that we had. Mm-hmm. And so I think where I'm trying to come from is there's a sensitivity here that you have a responsibility to represent information appropriately to the consumer. Uh-huh. And what it seems as though, and what you stated, is that you weren't aware of certain things or there are certain things on your website that you're maybe unaware of that might be presenting information that is could be confusing mm-hmm. to that of the consumer. And we're not here to try and scrub your website to make sure everything you put on it at all times is accurate. What we're trying to do is bring to your attention that you have an obligation to ensure that what you provide is accurate and consistent with the rules. And so those are the types of things that do start to jump out where we start to ask ourselves, you know, do we have bigger concerns in regards to how you are representing the school and mm-hmm. how a consumer may misunderstand that or understand.
Of course.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Of course. Again, to my best ability, I fixed all these like biggest, that kind of wording as well. But I believe this is a meta field that needs to be fixed by the developers. So I'm gonna again send another email to point those ones so they can take off from there too.
And so, you know, I do think there were other places and I'm maybe those have changed over the last 24 to 48 hours. You know, but it does still say on that, I believe on the website.
You didn't change anything last 2 months. Okay. When I received it, I changed.
So you can still see, you know, from that metadata that still comes up. A consumer would look at this and say, wow, this is the biggest place in the Southwest. There's no comparison.
I'm going to change it, but it is, I'm the only distributor of those products, like Arizona, New Mexico, Dallas, Texas. So I'm the main distributor.
So I'm glad you brought that up because I do believe there's somewhere where it does talk about the fact of, you know, these are the highest standards in equipment and products. And I'm trying to get my arms around how you establish that these were the highest standards in equipment and products, or are these products you consider to be very high in standard?
Uh-huh. Yes, you can establish that by following the regulations of the, like you can get products from China, you can get from here, you can be a distributor of third world countries supplies. So I work with the the most established brands. And I can easily say that, but if it is the concern, I'm willing to change the wording too.
I think where I'm trying to get to is, it may be opinion.
So I was trying to say that I work with only the accepted. So I'm a member of Society of Permanent Makeup Association. There are standards set already. So I'm following their standards. This is what it means there. Like more like I am in the vicinity of like whatever. If there's a regulation there, I won't get any pigments, violates the rules in America, or if there's something else issued, yeah, so, I mean.
Where we have sensitivity is when it is opinion versus substantiated. And that is part of the rules of advertising, that you can't offer opinions, you have to substantiate. If it is the highest standards, it is the biggest facility. There are places where you use a lot of absolutes, like the best, the highest level, the biggest. And it seems as though those are maybe more opinion, certainly out of pride of what you do. We know you're very passionate about the school and the education that you provide. So it's not uncommon for schools to go down this path, but this is why we guide appropriately to try and help a school understand. You can't present opinion. You have to substantiate that opinion for the consumer, because the consumer is really uneducated in this type of situation and relies on the institution to present itself in an accurate way, not a misleading way.
Understood. Yeah, okay. Understood. So when I received again the 8 items, I went through and I took off a couple of those, whatever I seen. I mean, if there was something, but I'm going to go over again one more time. So I took my notes.
And so, you know, these are good areas where you may even consider, I'm not trying to guide you too much, but again, you're responsible for the content of this, regardless of who put the website together or your ability to review it thoroughly or not. You are responsible for it. And so you may consider, you know, having some.
Mr. Romano, I have repeated this many times in the past too, but classes that I offer as fundamental are not my main business. Like, again, we are the distributor of many products and machines, and I'm the only distributor here. And I also offer services. So I reported 11 students only last year as fundamental class to you, and I paid for it. So I understand I'm responsible. Of course I'm responsible, but websites are, this type of websites are run by website builders. So I'm sure you deal all the time with those kind of issues, but
and I'm
maybe 90%, but 10%. Sometimes there are websites. When I take my students, I do interview, and I see them in person as well if I can. So I enroll. I go over everything. So I'm extremely transparent, with my information.
Respectfully, I understand you may have somebody else developing it. I'm not going to belabor this point. You are ultimately responsible for the content on the website as the school. So that is the concerns that have been brought forward, is that it seems as though some of this information is inconsistent or could potentially be perceived as misleading, and thus why we're trying to get clarity. And I think what you're sharing with me is that that concern is legitimized on our part, that you are not overseeing the content of this material to ensure that the school is represented at an accurate and factual level from just a few of the examples that we have brought up. It does seem as though there was a question around this $250 non-refundable amount. It looks like that was addressed from everything that I can see, but again, those are things that you have to make sure you're adhering to as an educational institution. That although it may have been brought to our attention or we may have stumbled upon it, you as the operator have to know the rules that you've agreed to say, I can't have a non-refundable fee of that size. I have to live within the requirements of my licensure to say that it's up to this amount that I can make non-refundable. So when you exceed that amount, those are also things that from a compliance side or a management oversight side create pause and concern for a committee like ours.
It is 200 everywhere. And there was one single, and that's the other question again, like, it's like more like catching. It's more like there's one single one, somewhere forgotten as 250 maybe, but it's 200 on the fundamental ones that I have only two fundamental classes.
So that's one example, right? And so we've talked about a few examples now, and what that starts to build is a concern by the committee and ultimately the board that says, is the school able to have the right type of oversight over the materials that they present in the public that gives us confidence from, you know, the operator standpoint? And we have a responsibility for that. So I realize that you may say, hey, the 250 was only in one spot, and there's this metadata that you may not control, but you've requested to be changed, but you're not sure if it can be changed, and those types of things that lead us to the concerns that we're bringing forward.
I understand, but you are so concerned, but let's say I talked about, like, let's say this is Advanced Cosmetics Academy, and it says non-refundable 500 again, everywhere.
As I stated at the beginning, I realize two things. One, we're not going to discuss other schools at this time and how you compare to the other schools. We're talking about your school at this time. I also want to clarify, because I did see in the materials that you have put forth concerns of other schools, I want to give you assurance that is the expectation of the staff, that they investigate those matters appropriately, but that is not part of this discussion here. So I do want you to know that information has been received. That information will be reviewed in the standard practice that is done by the board. But at this point in time, we are here to talk about the AZ Permanent Makeup Academy. Okay,
but sure. I just wanted to again repeat one thing. I am the main trainer in Arizona as the trainer member of the Association of Permanent Makeup. So I am trying to be extremely transparent with my information out there, and I am following universal standards of teaching permanent makeup. And I'm doing this with my best ability. Of course, there will be discrepancies. Like, of course, there will be something to fix. Always. It's normal. It's the we are humans. We might miss something, but again, if I knew, I would definitely fix it before coming here. This is what I'm trying to tell you here. Like, there's no reason not to.
I appreciate that. I have no doubt that is truly what your intention is. Okay, and that's part of this process, right? All we're doing here today is discussing this to try and understand it. That's all we're trying to do from that standpoint. So, and that's, as we've shared with you many times over, that part of us acting as a board on your behalf as well to try and highlight these things for you so that you can get your arms around them and operate the school as intended so you can do what you're best at, which is providing education, right? So we definitely respect and appreciate that piece of it. Our intent here is not to turn this into a point of contention, but rather seek to understand and from that try and provide guidance on how we move forward with this particular piece, while at the same time trying to balance if we do see what we could perceive as systemic issues where the operator, I'm not suggesting that's the case in your case, but just talking through this, if we see that there's an operator that seems like they're unable to have the right type of oversight to present material appropriately to a consumer in this case. We do have an obligation to try and take action within the guidelines that we have to live within. Okay, so I just ask you to continue to
thank you so much. Like, again, it relieves me to hear those words from you. Like, again, thank you so much. But Mr. Romano, on the phone, a couple times I asked Mr. Blanchard to go over my website and tell me whatever needs to be fixed in the past because of the problems we had. And then I sent email again, like asking my website to be reviewed so I would fix things to make it compliant with the regulations. So I tried. I tried to do this the best way, but still I'm here. So let's go over, and I'm taking notes as well.
So what I'd like to do now is actually provide my other committee members an opportunity to ask any questions that they might have. And I apologize to other committee members as I've monopolized a lot of the discussion up until this point. But I'll turn it over to you at this point for any additional questions. Ms. Cardullo, you seem to have your hand up.
Yes, I actually feel like I have enough information. And I would suggest that if I can, when it's appropriate, make a motion to turn this over to the full board, because as you mentioned, this isn't exactly a complaint. This is just something that it may have started because someone alerted us of it, but now we're discovering some things that we can fix. And I think that in the time that it would take to get to a full board meeting, she could get all this fixed if this was not really an attempt to mislead anyone or false advertise anything. I have experienced website development, and these people don't, the website developers, it's not their job to read. You know, they just do what they're told. And so if you miss that pop-up picture, they're not going to know to find it. You know, they won't find things for you. And so I liked Mr. Romano when you said ultimate responsibility is on you. You just, there's really no shortcut to that. It's just look at the website from every angle. And I would say do that for the next month, every single way you can find every single thing. And I think that then it would be a fair thing to present to the whole board.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Leck, do you have any questions?
I think that's a good plan.
I believe Keith Blanchard's hand is raised.
Well, let's go on to next. Mr. Blanchard?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the Complaint Committee, this is a complaint. There's a complaint number. How you handle it from here, you have the three options which are given to you in the report. If you don't think that the allegations in the complaint rise to any violations, you can dismiss it. If you want to request her to make additional changes and leave it at that, you're welcome to do that. If you find that there may be violations, you then can move it to the board for further review based on the discussion today. But this is a complaint, just to make sure that it's not an inquiry. And any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Blanchard. And Ms. Cardullo, I appreciate where you're coming from as well, because I think what we're finding as this complaint has been brought forward is there are a number of discrepancies in a number of areas that we're recognizing right now. And we're trying to get clarity around those particular pieces, while at the same time, it does create concern and pause from the standpoint of this information is out there. It's being presented to the consumers. It is not in alignment with the rules that, in this case, Ms. Chikichi, the school has accepted as having the license to operate based on that. And so there are legitimate concerns here that may be best served to at least be elevated to the board for review by a larger party. So Ms. Cardullo, if you would like to make a motion, we can see where that motion goes from a second and a vote.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Romano. I would make a motion to refer this complaint to the full board, and with the expectation that Arizona PMU will have their opportunity to fix their errors working with staff in that time.
I'll second.
So we have a second to that piece. Any other discussion by the committee members?
I would like to say something. I guess, you know, a lot of us have been doing this for a very long time, either on the board, for an institution, or any combination of sort. I think that it would really help you if you would really try and just hear what board staff is trying to guide you on, what the committee members are trying to guide you on versus trying to win the conversation. It's not that. No one's out to get anyone or anything. We're trying to provide you with information that you need in order to correct some mistakes. Just take those and go fix them, and then you won't have to hear from anyone. So, I mean, that's what, just from a peer to a peer, one person who does higher ed to another, if you stop thinking about it as someone's trying to, you know, not help you and make it a burden, it's not. So.
Okay, I understand. Mm-hmm. Sure, I understand what you're saying. But okay. Again, I call those numbers. So this is complaint committee. And again, I talk to other school owners. And if there are those sort of website violations or other stuff, like.
Then let that be taken care of. But the fact that you're saying this right now doesn't mean you're not hearing me. They're giving you information, making you a better organization, making you a better school. That's all anyone's trying to do. That's my opinion as a committee member.
The same for.
I'm sorry.
And I submitted 20 people's websites. 20 people's.
I apologize. I did just mute her. We have a motion on the floor. There should be no discussion until it's voted on.
Mr. Lamont, would you please take roll?
Mr. Romano.
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck.
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Ms. Cardullo.
Aye.
Ms. Cardullo votes aye. By your vote of 3 ayes, no nays, no absent, and no abstentions, that motion passes to move this to the full board.
That does conclude this matter for Arizona Permanent Makeup Academy. So Ms. Chikichi, the board staff will get in touch with you as we continue to move forward and elevate this. We hope that you have a good remainder of the day. We will move on to the next school. In this case, New Horizon Computer Learning Center. And Mr. Blanchard, would you please provide us with background on this?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the Complaint Committee. At its meeting on January 27, 2022, the State Board reviewed concerns from Arizona State Approving Agency for Veteran Affairs regarding some of the recruitment practices used by New Horizon Computer Learning Center. We submitted a request for information, which is listed in the areas of concern and the documentation and the report. This included some of the third-party contracted by New Horizons and written scripts where you'll see how those are presented to VA students specifically. Giving you all the information that we have, I know that New Horizons submitted a lot of documentation regarding their current, what they're doing at the institution. I've copied, and I hope what I copied and attached to the report kind of honed in on what the concerns were from the State Board at its meeting in January. So here to answer your questions is the institution, Zach, and I'm here to answer any questions if you need anything else from me.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Blanchard. Mr. Hiscock, thank you very much for attending today. We know how this has come about for you. We appreciate you taking the time, also taking the time to provide a response to us as well. I want to afford you the opportunity. We've had a chance to review those materials, but certainly want to give you an opportunity to make any opening statement.
Yeah, sure. Good afternoon, everybody. As Mr. Blanchard said, we did submit a comprehensive packet, a lot of information, a lot of exhibits, documents, things like that. I believe it did address the areas of concern that the State Board had. We also tried to show what we're doing currently that's different than what we've done in the past. And I'm here to answer any questions. One thing I will say is everything that had, you know, complaints and things like that is all in the past. We don't do that anymore. So I think we've already cured all the issues, but I'm more than happy to answer any questions you guys have.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. I just have a few questions based on the information that was provided. It looks like you've recently hired on a director of compliance. I believe that's Ms. Gamlin. Is that correct?
Yes, she came on September of 21, Donna Sterber Gamlin. She's got like 30 years experience in this. She's much better at it than I am, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I had a chance to review some of her materials that you had provided as well, which I'd like to maybe ask some clarifying questions there shortly. Probably the biggest one, though, is around the current scripts that are used in regards to reaching out to students. And it seemed as though at one point in time, scripts that were being used were kind of cold calls and getting to the point of Horizon being, or the purpose of the call being for educational purposes versus really bringing that to the upfront. In the materials that you provided, it looked as though you have a new script that you're using, which right out of the gate lets the person that answers the phone know that the individual they're talking to is calling on behalf of New Horizons Computer Learning Center in Phoenix, Arizona. Has that been implemented, and is that consistent on all of those types of calls?
Yes, that has been implemented, and that is the only script we're currently using is the one that we sent you.
Thank you. I wasn't sure of that. I wanted to confirm it as I saw a couple different scripts. Thank you. And in addition, there were a number of documents that were provided. It looks like Ms. Gamlin has been quite busy in regards to really trying to shore up some of those areas of opportunity for the school, which is great to see. Many of them were marked as kind of a in draft form, if you will. And I was curious if you could provide any clarity on which of any have actually been officially put into place, if all of them, only a handful of them. Can you provide any clarity on that?
Sure. Yeah. And just to kind of clarify the whole situation. So Ms. Erber Gamlin is actually working toward pushing us to accreditation through ASSET, which is why a lot of these documents are being done right now, many of which are in a draft form. And that's because there's a whole comprehensive process that we have to go through. And a lot of the documents rely on other documents that we're still working on. Some of them have been implemented. Much of it has not been implemented because it's not complete yet. But I believe we've rectified all the areas that have been part of complaints by either, you know, you guys or the Department of Veterans Services in Arizona. But if you need specifics, I mean, certainly I can go back to her and get you the specifics of what's been implemented and what hasn't.
You don't have to do that. I was just trying to get a perspective on that particular piece, understanding that it's apparent that a message was received loud and clear of opportunity to really tighten up in some of those compliance areas. And I appreciate what you have done and what Ms. Allen has done as well to try and really take that information to heart and start to apply it in a consistent way that I think sets your institution up for success, hopefully, as well as obviously students who would be attending the institution as well. I don't have any other questions at this point, just because it was so thorough in the response and the materials that were provided. I'll turn it over to my committee members, fellow committee members, to see if there are any additional questions.
This is Dr. Leck. So I'm reading through the materials, right? And I just want to make sure I'm clear. The scripts that we are referring to are based on you guys going to websites to look for people posting resumes. Is that the case?
Correct. That's where most of our data comes from. I mean, we do have some stuff that are just recycled leads that we've never been able to get a hold of, which go back through this too. But most of the script stuff is from, for example, we have a subscription to Career Builder. We have a subscription to Military Hire. We have a subscription to Indeed. We have what we call data scrapers that actually go in and based on our target demographics for the school, they will pull the person's information. And then, you know, obviously they call and they read the script. But the script's very, very clear in terms of what we're requesting. It has nothing to do with a job or anything. We're just, we find that these type of candidates are excellent candidates for our programs.
So the concern here being that you're using people's solicitation for jobs to secure them in an educational program, which is against the rules for essentially advertising in help wanted areas.
Well, and I understand where you're coming from, and we've looked into this extensively, and I've talked to multiple attorneys and other people that are involved, and we're not advertising in the help wanted section. We're not advertising anywhere for a job. So technically what we're doing, by my understanding, is we're not doing anything wrong. And we've talked to, I've vetted this with multiple people because I would have just shut it down if I thought it was incorrect. But all the statutes say nothing. I mean, I guess you could interpret the statute that way, but that's not how it's written.
So I guess I would look to Assistant Attorney General Seamus to help here.
What is the specific question, Dr. Leck, regarding the use of?
So if I post a resume to a job board, right, looking for a job, and someone calls me in the state of Arizona, who's licensed through Arizona Private Post Secondary, who calls me and says, "Hey, I don't have a job, but I have an education program," is that okay?
Well, it sounds like, Keith, you want to jump in real quick?
Mr. Shane. And here's the applicable rule. And I know it's old because people just don't get newspapers anymore. But it's a licensee offering a non-accredited program shall not solicit students in, and it's quoted, help wanted section of a newspaper, magazine, or other publication, regardless of whether the publication is printed or online. And so that's kind of where we looked at that applicable rule and then received the information from the institution. So I sure get what Mr. Hiscock is saying regarding how the rule is written. And but when I talked to with Mr. Lamountain and Mr. Stanfield about how, you know, why that's there, it seems like it's progressive now because everything's online. So that's, I just kind of want to make that point. I hope that clarifies.
And I think what it sounds like here, Keith, the ultimate question is whether he's advertising or not.
Or not.
It's not really advertising. When we read it, it's reading that first part of some of the scripts where the script says, I represent, and it's not the school, it's Indeed. So it's all job lead type things. And again, I'm not saying this is coming directly from the institution, but it is somebody that's hired by the institution where it says, the first thing is, are you currently employed? Well, that has nothing to do with an education.
Well, this and then is, the other, and then I don't the mean to interrupt.
In there states something on the lines of, my name is blah, blah, blah. I found your information on a resume database. We work with Career Builder, Indeed, LinkedIn, just a name.
Right. If I can chime in for one second, I apologize, but it is, if we're going to look at the definition of solicit, I mean, the institution is doing what we all have agreed and statutorily is in here that you shouldn't be doing, which is going out, culling resumes from a, from a, from these particular areas of people that are looking for jobs. I think that's one of the biggest issues that got them in trouble with the, and got them suspended from the Veteran Services. So we're looking at the challenges that we know for a fact they were doing, because they admitted that component to it, that they are soliciting because they're gaining the information from the institution or from these sites and soliciting soliciting those individuals to go to school as opposed to putting their resume out on a site for a job. And that's the issue that I think that we're looking at here. And that is the reason behind why we're here today, is that investigation had happened through the Arizona Department of Veteran Services, who made it very clear, and that information was provided to the board, very clear of what their findings were, and why that letter was written, and why they were suspended, and not just suspended, but I believe has their authority has been revoked from the Arizona Veteran Services. So I just so that we're on that page, and you know, I apologize for jumping in, but I want to make sure that we all understand why we're here.
Yes, Ms. Lomon, too. I think as we look at the rules and how it is written, so, and that we have to be sensitive to that piece of it, it doesn't say you can't call people to present an opportunity to them. It says you can't advertise in a published way of, you know, through print or website, online or not. And so I guess the question comes down to, is an educational institution allowed to call a prospective student who did not initiate that contact with the institution? And I don't know if that's something the Assistant Attorney General would provide guidance with us on, but I don't see it in the language that says, based on Arizona rules, that says you can't call someone who did not first initiate contact with you to present an educational opportunity. Certainly the way it was scripted prior to the adjustment, where they were not disclosing that they were an educational institution right up front, created concerns, understandably. But with the new script, where they do, within the first sentence, clarify who they are and where they are calling from, around that, I guess I just need clarity of, can an institution cold call someone, and is that against the rules?
This is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. Well, unfortunately, you don't have a definition for solicit, and it doesn't mention call or anything else like that. So aside from what you have done based on historic policy, if that's a question you would like me to answer, I would have to dig into it, because it's not in the plain reading of the language. I mean, excuse me, it's not in the plain language of the statute. It just says solicit, and I'm not sure what they mean by solicit. So if you'd like me to look into that, I could.
I would ask that you would, if you could. I guess the way I read it, I'm referring to R-439-304 in the advertising section of the rules, under C, which is a license offering a non-accredited program shall not solicit students in, and then it goes through calling those steps out of 1 and 2. And that's what if we were to evaluate, I'd be evaluating them against items number 1 and 2, not trying to apply my own definition of solicit, because it seems as though the intent of the standards was to call out what they meant by solicit in items number 1 and 2, which item 1 is in the help wanted section of a newspaper, magazine, or other publication, regardless of whether the publication is printed or online. And then the other is employment or unemployment lines in which individuals stand while seeking work or benefits. And So cold calling is not part of that, and reaching out to the students. So that's where I feel a little handcuffed of, I think we may be overreaching by adding our own interpretation to that versus what the actual black and white language states in the rules. So, Attorney General, any thoughts?
No, and I think that's a fair interpretation. If you look at 304A, a licensee offering a non-accredited program should ensure that all advertising is truthful, probably fits more in line with the previous script. Individuals thinking that they're looking for a job, when they get called, they find out later that it's not a job, it's a school. I'm not sure if the new situation fits into our current statute, though. And if you would like to go into executive session to discuss it more, we could do that. It's up to you.
Can I just clarify a couple things real quick? So first of all, just so you guys know, and Mr. Assistant Attorney General, I would like for you to investigate this a little further, because I've had a couple different attorneys look into it, and it's certainly the way the statute is written, I believe we're in the clear. But if what you were intending was for us not to do what we're doing, then I think the statute needs to be slightly rewritten, in my opinion. It's not like I'm just doing this willy-nilly. I mean, we went out and looked into this extensively to see if we could do this. And by definition, solicit means I'm trying to get them to do something, whereas we're the ones doing it. We're calling them. I'm not putting any ads trying to solicit anybody. There are no ads that I place on resume sites or anywhere else about this kind of thing. So I think that this is a case of overreach by the committee, or a thought of overreach by the committee, which in my opinion is the exact same thing that the Department of Veterans Services did. And to clarify that, we were not suspended or withdrawn because of this. We were suspended and withdrawn because of other things. And we have an appeals hearing that will be next month on that. And I'm pretty confident that we're going to win that, because the overreach was absolutely out of control. It's a witch hunt for New Horizons.
Mr. Hiscott, I know that certainly there's a lot around that. And what I want to focus our committee on today is what we have in front of us that is written in black and white. And I think where we would go with that, based off of what is written today, and certainly can be reviewed by the Assistant Attorney General to provide us guidance if it's intended to be different than that, or we've missed something, I think we have to work with what we have today to try and make that determination. Not to say we won't revisit it in the future, but I think that's really what seems to be the appropriate direction right now. So with that, are there other questions by any committee members?
And one more thing, if you guys get more information and things change, just let us know and we'll change it. I mean, we're not trying to be difficult.
Thank you. Hearing no other questions, would any of the committee members like to bring forward a motion?
I'll motion to have the Attorney General investigate the intent of that particular rule and move this item to a future agenda.
You can move it to the full board as well. It's up to you.
I would just say a future committee agenda. We don't know that it needs to go anywhere else.
Okay.
Sorry.
And this is Susan Cardullo. I would second that motion.
Perfect.
Okay. Mr. Romano, would you take roll on that?
Mr. Romano.
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Ms. Cardullo?
Aye.
Ms. Cardullo votes aye. By your vote of three ayes, zero nays, zero absent, and one and zero abstentions, that motion passes. Just for clarification purpose for staff, so that I understand, we're not moving to the full board, but we are going to move to the June complaint meeting. Is that where you want this to go?
Yes.
And I think what we're really saying is that We're not looking to take any action right now. We're just trying to understand a little bit better. And it might, we may find that nothing has changed when we get to that. So, Mr. Hitchcock, we're not trying to delay you or add more on to that piece of it. We're just respectfully trying to make sure we understand correctly so that we can appropriately close this matter out from that standpoint. I don't believe it will require any further action from you at this point outside of allowing our Assistant Attorney General to review that and, depending on that, revisiting it at the June time. Ms. Ferdula, did you have a question?
Yeah, actually, the one action item would be Mr. Hitchcock mentioned that the veterans appeal is coming up. And so if that information came forward in time for the June complaint committee, that would be good information for us to know.
Well, just so you guys know, we don't have a date yet. We just submitted the letter a couple days ago, so
okay.
We're still waiting on a date. There's also a pre-appeals conference settlement hearing, too. I'm hoping to just get this settled before that, but we'll see what happens.
Well, I think in those cases, as typical, you would bring that, whatever occurs from that, you would bring that to the staff's attention regardless of this committee. And that may result in some additional type of discussion with the full board or not, but that's really outside of the scope of this particular topic today. We appreciate your time. Hopefully that was at least helpful explanation to you of kind of why we're progressing in the direction that we are. We understand you've taken time to prepare these materials, and we're appreciative of that piece as well. Just continue to have patience with us, and we will look to see you again in the June timeframe. And as new information does make itself available to you from the Veteran Association and otherwise, please be sure to keep the staff informed. Okay.
Great. Appreciate the time. Thank you.
Yeah,
very good.
Thank you.
All right. Am I good to go?
You are good to go.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. Just pulling up my agenda because I was jumping around here and there. So we are now at item number 4, a call to the public. Public input is encouraged. Presentation should be limited to 5 minutes. Please be aware, however, the committee may not discuss, consider, or take action at this meeting on any item not scheduled on the agenda during the meeting. So during the meeting, additional public comment may be requested, but is generally not allowed. So do we have any calls or any comments from the public that would like to come forward?
All right, so for the public, if you'll just raise your hand, we will call in order that I see. And Mr. Pastillo, it's been nice to see you today. So you are first up.
It's good to see you guys. Just wanted to explain why there are so many additional guests sometimes. We've just been making a habit of trying to, in this day and age, stay well-informed. So with the convenience of the digital meetings, most of our team has been joining, so. It's not spies or anything. It's just Bill's banning and
you're not convincing me.
Proud of you guys. I know it's hard, thankless work, but thanks for supporting everybody.
Thank you. We're glad to have you on. So thank you and your whole team.
My pleasure.
Any other call to the public? Again, just use the raise your hand function in the system, and I will call upon you. Going once, going twice. That's it. So
with that, then we will adjourn the complaint committee for the post-secondary education at 2:09 p.m. Thank you very much for your time, everyone.
Dr. Leck?
No, I was going to second. He always asked me for a second. He didn't ask for that.
You are not my understanding is I am not required to have to take a motion to adjourn the meeting.
We streamlined it.
That's right.
Oh, well, I'm old school.
We appreciate your support regardless. Everyone, please have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, everyone.
Bye.
All right. Let me hold on.
Who's Renee?
I think that was the, I don't know, hang on. I am,